I have been preaching a series of sermons on the church, and I hope it has been helpful to you in understanding the church. And this is the last in that series. So far, I have told you that the church was conceived in Jesus' mind and heart before it came into being. I also told you that the church was birthed by the Holy Spirit in a supernatural way. And then I told you that the church is made up of redeemed people who are followers of Jesus Christ. The last time we met together, I told you about the church's special and specific purpose. We are supposed to come together to be strengthened and enabled and helped, and then to go out into the world and to tell the good news. The question I want to answer today is, what is going to happen to the church? What is the church's ultimate destiny? This question comes up to us because as we look around, we see so many churches that are struggling and so many that are failing. And we wonder, will there be any churches that will make it all the way through to the end? I want to read a couple of scriptures to you as we think about the church's completion this morning. First of all, one verse of scripture out of Matthew 10, 8, actually 16, I should say. And it's just one verse, actually a part of the verse, 18, and the last part of that. And then in 1 Corinthians 15, 24 through 26, and verse 57. Jesus is speaking and he says, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. And then in Corinthians, the Apostle Paul says, then the end will come when he, Jesus, that is, hands over the kingdom of God to the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. And then the Apostle Paul in the 57th verse says, but thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. To begin with this morning, we must make a distinction about the church. I'm not talking about the institutional side of the church, for that has been changed and that has developed and that is, I guess you could say, evolved over the years. What I'm talking about is actually what is called the true church. Every local body of believers has in it, within it, those who are called true Christians. They are the Christians who have had a real experience of conversion. They have had what is called, or Jesus calls in the Bible, being born again. Which means something has happened in their lives. Something has happened way down deep inside of them. And they are serious in their commitment to follow Jesus in their lives. Sad to say, there are some and perhaps even many who simply went through the outward ritual of becoming a Christian. But never were they all that serious about it. Every local body of believers is a mixture. It's something like Jesus' parable of the wheat and the tares. There are those in every local body of believers that are true Christians. As I described them, there are others who are just there. When I first started out the ministry, I assumed that everybody was together, had the same mindset, or as I say today, they were on the same page. But I soon found out that's not true. Some are just there off and on for the services of the church. And they don't have a clue about what it means to be a Christian. They are satisfied with where they are in the Lord, and that's where they want to stay. Now, that may sound judgmental, and I don't mean for it to, but when you think, when you work with people for a certain period of time, you soon begin to discover who is it that is really serious and who is not. So what I'm saying to you is that these true Christians in all of the churches really make up the true church of Jesus Christ. That is the church I will be talking about today. Now, when we think about what is going to happen to the church ultimately, we can say that there is good news and there's bad news. According to Jesus, the church will never die. It will never be overcome by death. He said, the gates of Hades, which is the place of death, will not overcome the church. As we look at the church and some of the things the church has experienced, some of the ways that the church has gone through this and that and the other, we begin to wonder, is it going to make it or not? The church of Jesus Christ will ultimately triumph. But the bad news is, just as in the past, the church will face difficult days, times of testing. We see some of that dichotomy expressed in the words of the hymn that we were saying together earlier this morning, The Church's One Foundation. It says, mid toil and tribulation and tumult of her war, she waits the consummation of peace forevermore. Till with the vision glorious, her longing eyes are blessed. And the great church victorious shall be the church at rest. The words of that hymn express what the church has gone through in the past. And to a certain extent, what the church is going through right now. And what the church will go through in the future. Just as our country is fighting a war against extreme Muslim jihadism, so the church is also fighting a war against the forces of evil. But that's why we've been given spiritual armor to wear and spiritual weapons to help us fight in this war. Here's how the Apostle Paul explains what we face. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. The church and individual believers are called to fight in this war. And we are given the protective armor to wear that Paul goes on to list in Ephesians. We need to wear that armor because every day of our lives we face some kind of warfare. Carol has a friend who she said told her that every day when she gets up in the morning, she puts on her spiritual armor, just goes through the list that Paul has given us in Ephesians and consciously puts that armor on. That would not be a bad thing to do every day, I believe, because as we go out into the world especially, we're going to be confronted with all kinds of challenges. And we need to know that we are protected. And that's why the Lord has given us that. Our fight is not against people. Sometimes we make that mistake. Our main conflict is not with people. Why does the forces of evil come against us? Why do the forces of evil try to destroy the church continually? And we also know that the head of all of this trouble that's being caused, all of the persecution that comes against us, all of the things, that the adversity, at the head of that is the devil himself. And he seeks to destroy the church because he hates God and he knows he cannot defeat God. He tried that once. And it didn't work. And it got him thrown out of heaven as a result. But since he cannot defeat God, he goes after what is closest to God's heart, which is mankind. And specifically, the redeemed who make up the church. We're in a fight. We're in a war. And the Apostle Paul talks about the weapons of our warfare also in 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. He says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does." It's a different kind of fight. "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ." That's the nature of our warfare, my friends. That's the war. That's the battle that we're called to wage. It's not a physical battle. It's not a material battle. It's a spiritual battle. It has been raging ever since the church began nearly 2,000 years ago. Now, unfortunately, there are some Christians, maybe many Christians, who do not even know that there's a war going on. Just as I'm sure that there are people in the natural who don't know what's happening over in Iraq. I know somebody sent someone out into the populace to talk to them about what is happening there. And it was amazing that many of those people they talked to didn't even know there was anything going on. They weren't aware of all of the horrible acts that have been committed. I don't know why. They just simply tune out, I guess, or they're not interested, or they don't care, or whatever. Do you remember reading in the Old Testament about the Israelites' possession of the promised land? God had promised the Israelites a land of their own. First of all, through Abraham, and then later on, as Moses led them, and then finally as Joshua led them. But he did not hand that to them on a silver platter. He told them that they were going to have to fight for it. They were going to have to go in, possess the land, and drive out the people who are already there. And then and only then would they be able to live in that place. What if they'd been unwilling to fight? What if they had just sat down on the other side of Jericho, the other side of the river, and just stayed there and refused to fight, didn't want to fight. We'd rather not fight. And expected God to do everything for them. Well, if they had had that attitude, I doubt if they ever would have possessed their promise. Now, God told them that He would go with them. And He said He would help them. But they had to go and they had to do the fighting. That usually involves some form of warfare. In the end, they did enter and occupy the promised land. But here's the point. It was not easy. It was not like walking through the park. It was a fight. There was warfare involved. And as they put their hands to the task, God came in and was with them and helped them. Jesus told us that in the world we will have tribulation. Now that word tribulation means basically pressure. We're going to have all kinds of pressure coming upon us. It's sort of like taking a piece of paper and wadding it up and then squeezing it together. That's what tribulation means. It means trouble. It means difficulties. It means hardships. It means even persecution at times. But here's the good news. God has promised us that He will be with us. And He will help us. as we fight the battles in our day. How many of you know that the church has lost some battles recently simply because we were not willing to fight? And we just let things happen. We just let things go. And you know, we could lose. We could lose some battles if we're not willing to fight. If we are willing to fight, if we are willing to do what God tells us to do, if we follow His instructions, if we go when He tells us to go and stay when He tells us to stay, if we avail ourselves of the help that He has promised to give us, if we go in the power and the strength and the might of the Lord our God, then we will win. We will win battles. While Jesus told us that in the world we will have persecution, He also told us that we have available to us the spiritual resources. We have the spiritual armor that we can put on to protect us. We have the spiritual weapons that God provides to us with which we can fight and with which we can win, my friends. We have the promise of our Heavenly Father to be with us to help us. So how can we possibly lose? The only way that we can lose is to refuse to fight. Or fight in the wrong way. This is good news, isn't it? We can take it to heart because we know that ultimately the church is going to be victorious. We are in something. We are in a part of something that is going to be victorious, is going to win. As someone has said, I've read the back of the book, and we win. One of my favorite movies is called War Games. It's about a high school boy who is somewhat of a computer whiz, and one day as he is playing around with his computer, he accidentally hacks in to the National Defense computer. He started playing what he thought was a game with a computer that was called World Thermonuclear War. Eventually, he came to realize it may not be a game, but it might be the real thing. That he and the computer were fighting this war, and it might be real. At one point, he asked the computer, which had been given a voice, what the object of the game was, and the computer answered, to win. They finally figured it out and discovered that it was just a game, but it was kind of scary for a while. Isn't that the object of why the Church of Jesus Christ is here and what it is doing? It is not a game like the movie, but it is serious. An all-important mission that Jesus began when He was here on this earth and which He committed to us and put into our hands. And told us that He wants us to complete the job, complete the mission. The church has won many battles along the way and also lost some. The main thing is that we have not given up. And we will not give up. The church will not give up. Never. Why? Because we have the promise of victory, my friend. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, He has told us that we will ultimately win the battle, the war. Have you ever played on some sports team and know what it feels like to experience what they call the thrill of victory? I remember reading about one high school football team that had lost something like 40 or 50 consecutive games. Now, that would not be a fun team to play on, would it? But finally, one night, they were playing another opponent, and it came down to the very last, and they scored a touchdown, and they won the game, and it stopped the string of defeats. You can imagine how excited they were. Well, in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verses 7 through 8, we have the description of the marriage supper of the Lamb, which is the bride of Christ, which is the church. The church, in that description, is united with Jesus, united with the Lamb. Then the angel spoke to John, who was recording the revelation, and said, "Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." I don't know about you, but I want to be one of those blessed ones. I want to be one of those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I want to be one of those who have a seat around that banquet table and sit there with the Lord and so reign with Him. I want to be one of those blessed ones. It will be worth it all then, my friends, when we see Jesus. One smile from His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. We can all have a place at that banquet table. We can all be with Jesus and taste the thrill of victory. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for the promise of victory for the church. We know the church has not been perfect down through the ages. We know that we've had our ups and downs. We know even now that there may be some problems. But God, we know also that You have Your hand on the church. And that Jesus has promised us that if we continue to be faithful, we will receive the crown of life. So help us, Father. Help us to walk with You through this life. And help us, Father, to be willing to fight the good fight of faith, knowing that in the end, we will win. In Jesus' name, amen.